This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello and welcome to the San Jose Hockey Now podcast, your trusted source for all things San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Floor. Joining me as always, but on the road, is editor-in-chief of San Jose Hockey Now and my co-host, Shang Pang. Shang, how you feeling, man?
Pretty good. We're doing a car cast right now, at least on my side. I'm just leaving the debacle against Toronto there. My flight tomorrow to Chicago is at 5 a.m., so had to fit in a podcast for you guys, but I had to do it with the limited time before my flight, and so I thought the best idea would be to do it in the car.
Yeah, and We're both getting over our own individual ailments here. Shane, you just recently got your booster shot. I have just been under the weather with a lovely daycare-esque head cold, essentially, that my son brought home from daycare. So the congestion is real, and it could be worse. You know, I had to take a half day at work before Thanksgiving, so that was a little rough. But how are you feeling after that booster shot, Shane?
Well, I should have taken a half day. Wednesday, I got the booster shot on Tuesday evening. I actually felt pretty good in the evening. When I woke up on Wednesday, I felt pretty good. Went down for morning skate. I even tweeted at a couple people that had, I think we were talking about a booster shot somehow. I mentioned I got it and I was feeling okay. I was feeling okay at the time I tweeted. But then little did I know that in the afternoon, it would hit me real, real hard. And I would say that that game, that Ottawa game, I felt like it was an out-of-body experience watching that game. So I definitely should not have gone a morning skate. I was able to keep it together for the game and whatnot. But yeah, that Wednesday overall was pretty rough. And Thursday Thanksgiving still a little bit rough, feeling a lot better. And then today finally feeling 100% right now.
There you go. So basically your body was in the press box, but your mind and your soul was kind of hovering above the ice the entire time, kind of wondering what was going on.
Or it might have been another way around. I'm not really sure, but
yeah. So yeah, if any of you fans saw Shang floating above the ice, there's your justification why.
I might have helped the Sharks improve their team defense in the third period. That might have been me, so.
Yeah,
you know, Angels in an outfield style.
Yeah, I was thinking more Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. You had Ottawa freaking out because they saw you up there. So this is our Thanksgiving special episode. And I say Thanksgiving special because this is going to be released on Saturday. We're recording this after the Toronto game, like Shank said. And we promised you an episode this week. And technically Saturday, the week has not ended yet. So in the spirit of the holiday, we wanted to take a quick second to give our thanks to you, the listeners, everyone who keeps this podcast afloat, specifically from me to Shang, because, I mean, very few co-hosts or people would be doing the podcast on the way home prior to a 5 a.m. flight to Chicago. So just wanted to, again, give thanks to Shang for his dedication to this podcast and to the San Jose Sharks. And of course, thank you to all the listeners and the people that somehow listen to me for some reason every week talk about our favorite hockey team. So, Shang, what about you? What are we giving thanks for to this week?
Well, I wanted to thank you, Nick. Not a lot of co-hosts would want to record a podcast at 11:30 when he's got a day job and he's got a head cold and he's got a little boy too. So, that's very impressive on your part. And thank you to the listeners. I thought that there was so much. Nick and I thought that there was so much news going on this week that we couldn't not have a podcast, and so we thought just a little bit of a quickie today, but you know, let's hit on some of the big points. Obviously with Vander Kane and Doug Wilson today and this week. And also, I just wanted to throw out one thank you to everybody who's contributed to my tip jar and my travel tip jar. And I am going on a road once again. And so any additional contributions there, I would be very, very grateful for. I will be on every game of this upcoming road trip. That's Chicago. Yes, I will be braving the post-Thanksgiving the airport. Of course, I'm leaving at 5 a.m., so that's a good part of it. I'll beat a lot of the people there. Yeah. And then going to all the games in New York and also Columbus, too. So, yes, I will be the only reporter in Columbus because everybody avoids it. So, So anyway, 100% of your contributions, they go toward my travel. And yes, you're at NBC. Do they pay for travel? No, they do not at this point. I'm talking to them about helping out a little bit, but you know, right now I'm a contributor with them. I'm not their full-time beat writer. And so that's kind of the way it goes when, you know, you're a contributor. And so anyway, any support, I thank you so much for. If you have supported me in the past in that way, thank you very much for that. I'm very grateful for that. And yeah, let's get the show on the road, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, without further ado, let's hop into it. On this week's episode, our little Thanksgiving special, we're going to talk about Doug Wilson's unexpected temporary medical leave that he was that the Sharks just announced today. And afterwards, we're going to break down the details of Evander Kane's options out of San Jose. And there's a reason why that's all we're talking about, because like we've said multiple times before, we believe he is not going to play another game in a San Jose sweater. So we'll just leave it at that. Quickly, before we get into it, a shout out to our social media handles. You can follow the podcast at SJ Hockey Now Pod. You can follow the network at Hockey Pod Net. And you can follow myself and my ridiculous game day tweets at @NickFloor_. Shang?
You can follow me at @Shang_Peng. And find all my work at San Jose Hockey Now and at NBC Sharks.
And a quick shout out to my son for winning over Sharks Twitter during the Toronto game and putting my ass in check. He told me, Dad, the Sharks are trying their best. I told him I didn't think they were, and he said, yes, they are. So everyone seemed to love that. So it was quite hilarious. I'm sitting there like going on my typical rant, my verbal rant about their defensive breakdowns, and he just looks at me and says, Daddy, our Sharks are trying their best.
He might need to join the coach's room. They might need some additional positivity. So
he could easily. He would trot in there. He would crank out a motivational speech. I don't think most four-year-olds are, not even four yet, but most four-year-olds would be able to do so.
Counteract some of that negativity that might be coming back with a certain number nine.
Yeah, we're not talking about the spicy chicken sandwich on Popeye's menu, the best number nine out there. jumping right into the unexpected news that came out today, Shang. The Sharks announced that Doug Wilson was going to step down due to medical reasons. And, it was very abrupt, kind of out of nowhere, Shang. And a lot of people, you know, myself included, we all either quote tweeted the tweet or retweeted out, you know, just hoping that everything's okay with Doug and that it's nothing too serious because, you know, at the end of the day, you may not like Doug Wilson's moves as a general manager per se, but Doug Wilson is a person and he has a family. And so to see the overwhelming amount of support that was poured out from the Sharks fans and Sharks territory and even just the NHL community was just, honestly, it was nice to see. But from what we know, Shang, it shouldn't be too severe, right? It's something like a minor cough.
Well, we don't know that aspect of it. Obviously, it's serious enough for him to take leave. I would say in terms of it being a surprise or not, it definitely was a surprise. But I would say, though, just like a number of reporters have noticed with Doug, he has had this persistent cough since about September. And the last time I talked with Doug was before his Hall of Fame induction. We had media availability with him a few days before, a couple weeks ago, and that cough was still there. And that cough has been a regular part of whenever we talked with him for about a couple months running there. And so, you know, part of this time, obviously, this medical leave is to figure out what's going on there. Yeah. And, you know, as far as we know, as far as we believe, it's not COVID related. So hopefully, you know, he'll be all right. I guess we'll see. I think the best I can say there is that, you know, we know about this cough. Hopefully there's not other issues. But in this time, hopefully they can figure out what's going on. I think there's a pretty good chance he'll be okay, but you never know with these things. And again, obviously it's serious enough that he's taking this time. And so really, really do not know. So don't want to speculate too much on that. But obviously the most important thing, like you said, is his health over anything to do with the Sharks. And so glad that he's taking this time. Obviously not glad that's happened, but glad that he's going to take this time to look after himself. And hopefully he comes back strong as ever.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And there was a couple, I wouldn't say weird things, but it was just kind of course, with this and the timing of it, the speculation always comes out, Shang, as you expect. The first thing that I saw after, obviously, the support from most fans was the speculation, like you said. And it was surrounding Evander Kane, who we're going to get into here in a second. But this is obviously not because of Evander Kane. So we just wanted to clarify that. People were like, oh, he just wants to like pass the buck off to Joe Will to have to be the one to make the decision. Like, that's not – the Evander Kane decision was made long time ago. Whatever decision that they officially announced.
Yeah, let me jump ahead there. I don't know if it was been made a long time ago. From what I understand, it's been a very complex process. I can say that. And I don't know if a decision was flat out made a long time ago. I'll say that it is still my belief that he has played his last game with the San Jose Sharks, but. It's not something that I can say airtight, or I would have reported as such. I wouldn't couch the language if I didn't have to, you know.
Gotcha.
So it is my belief, still my strong belief. But anyway, to the point, you know, we'll talk about Evander in a little bit. But to the point of Doug and the timing of it, I'm pretty sure, and we'll get confirmation on this in a couple of days when more news on Evander comes out, because obviously Evander is eligible to come off the suspension list on November 30th. I anticipate we'll get more news before that. But I highly, highly doubt that Doug Wilson would have left such a monumental decision for the franchise to his lieutenant, and granted, you know, AGM, one of his two assistant general managers, so one of his top lieutenants, yes. But I would say that if Doug is taking his leave, that means that decision has been made at this point today.
That's fair.
Or yesterday or whenever, you know. So that's what I want to clarify. So I don't think it was a decision that was made 2 weeks ago or a month ago or whatever. But I would say at this point, though, it would make sense that decision has been made. And now Doug can and probably wanted to also get through the Hall of Fame weekend without his health being a priority. You know, he wanted to enjoy the weekend and focus on his playing career and celebrate that. Instead of, you know, being asked about his health during that, you know, monumental weekend for himself, and understandably so. And mm-hmm. So probably those two things were two big things to kind of get through before he could seriously consider sort of or be more willing to kind of shut it down for a while here. And to clarify, too, day-to-day activities that's what Joe will be taking over. I don't think it means, though, that if there's something critical, like Evander Kane, that Doug Wilson is in a call away. Or let's just make up something that the Edmonton Oilers are going to trade Connor McDavid to the Sharks for Mark Edward Vlasic, you know.
That would.
So I would presume that if there's something that is major, a lot of financial outlay. Obviously, Hassel will be involved. Hassel Plotner, the owner of the Sharks, but also too. I believe that it still could be a call away there. It's not that kind of situation, as far as I understand it. I should double check that. But yeah, that would be my guess with that. But anyway, yeah, Doug is not stepping away because of Evander Kane. Though I'm sure the Evander Kane situation and the news that pops up, bad news that pops up every week, every 2 weeks with that dude, obviously it doesn't help anybody's health, including yours as a fan. So,
yeah, one thing after another with him. But
exactly.
One final discrepancy and a couple of, I wouldn't say discrepancy, but it turned out to be a typo. From what we know, Shang, was the date postage, a very, very small date postage on the infographic that the Sharks posted up, showed a date of August 8th, 2021. So the conspiracy started rolling out after that. It was like tinfoil hat time, like I said, and multiple Twitter users saw it, multiple Redditors saw it. But again, I believe the Sharks said it was a typo. So
I asked the Sharks. The Sharks told me it was a typo. But for what it's worth, though, like I said, Doug has had this cough since September. He may have had it a little before then. So it is possible that it's sort of been in the works in some kind of way. I said, I imagine that Doug wanted to get through Hall of Fame weekend and to kind of resolve, at least internally, the Kane situation before taking this leave. And so, but maybe back then though, they kind of, I don't know. I actually shouldn't speculate that far.
Hey guys, we just want to take a quick break to thank this week's sponsor, DraftKings. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-timer or a deflection, however they light the lamp, you win. And don't worry if DraftKings Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet. DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. It's pretty simple, folks. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, what's interesting,
Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, if we were going to move into, I mean, because we're kind of drifting into that section or into that way anyways, moving into our Evander Kane talk is, you know, just recently Elliot Friedman said on the Jeff Merrick show that Evander Kane's got his three-team trade list.
Sure.
And he doesn't know if anyone's going to want to trade for him right now, but he's heard that the Sharks have let it be known that if somebody is interested, they would retain. And I'm assuming it's up to the full 50% the Sharks would retain. So if you want to dive even deeper into the pool of speculation, you would have to presume at this point that if we feel as though Doug is comfortable enough taking, like, there's enough stress off of him now because these decisions have, you know, not officially, but essentially have been made from him and his staff, that Evander Kane won't be traded. Or can you not?
Well, I don't know. Well, first I want to. I just want to make clear again that I do believe the Sharks when they say it was a typo. So let's just dispel that.
Yeah.
But in terms of you know, do we know that we know we were? I'm pretty sure Evander Kane's not being traded. It has nothing to do with Doug's health or whatever. It's just that the term of his contract. That's the big thing that people do not. Give, I guess, enough credence to when they're making their Kane trade rumors and they're asking themselves, well, who wouldn't want a 30 goal scorer at $3.5 million? And in your, if that's how you're looking at it, you're not wrong. Like, a lot of teams would take that risk because Evander Kane is a very good player. There's no disputing that, but no one will take that risk for 3 years. And so that's why he's not getting traded. And that's presuming that the Sharks will take 50%, which we don't know. A team might take that risk if that 3 years and 50%, if the Sharks will really sweeten the pot. But, you know, if you're thinking a second round pick's going to do it, I don't think so. And I would have been very sure of that before the Coyotes went wholesale this summer, buying up bad contracts for just second round picks. They kind of reset the market in that way. Prior to that, the market for bad contract, going back to look at what the Vegas Golden Knights did during the expansion draft, right? It was always a first round pick, even for one bad year, you know, even one bad year at $5 million, that would cost a first round pick back then. The Coyotes sort of reset and did kind of go bargain basement on that relatively, buying out or taking on a lot of bad contracts for second round picks. But they might be done with that, though. I'm not under the impression that they're open for business like they were in the summer. And who knows if they would want a Evander Kane in there anyway. You know, the guys that the Coyotes brought in, they probably at least wanted guys who would be good leaders for their young players, good examples, guys who would take sort of the diminished status and, you know, being just kind of disrespected by, you know, by being, you know, kind of tossed out of town like Andrew Ladd out of the Islanders, guys who would maybe embrace the challenge of a new place, a place where where, you know, their leadership might be welcome, even if their game isn't what it used to be. Yeah. You know, does that sound like Evander Kane? Probably not. And so anyway, so a trade is still highly unlikely, but I never want to say never, never on it. But I would think that it would take a first round pick or two first round picks. And I don't think a Sharks organization or Doug Wilson or Joe Will are – that's a price that they want to pay.
Yeah, not to mention even if Arizona was in play, like we've talked about before, Shang, they already have the Sharks second-round pick. That's why Aiden Hill's on the team. So.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. And, yeah, you brought this up, Nick. You know, picks, as they get farther away from the closest year, they lose their value. Just example, Lane Peterson, right, was traded for the Sharks traded a 2024 fourth round pick for him. Now, fourth round pick sounds pretty high for Peterson that we've seen so far, hasn't shown much more than a fourth line game. I know the Sharks liked him in the past, and that's why they traded for him. But that sounds like an overpay, right? And it is to some degree. But a fourth round pick in 2024. You know, I think by some kind of some calculations, the way some teams factor it, that might be more like a sixth round pick today, kind of, just to give an idea. So a second round pick in 2023, right? 2022, the draft, that's upcoming one, is definitely not as valuable as a 2022. So indeed, you're right about that.
Yeah, and the Sharks would be an absolute – they would be fools to give up a first-round pick to get rid of the contract.
Right.
You're shooting yourself in the foot at that point.
Especially where the franchise is. It's not like you're the Tampa Bay Lightning and trading for Barkley Goodrow, and you're pretty sure your first-round pick's going to be a very, very late one. You know, in that case, then, you know, if your first is almost like a second, you can make an argument, but – when you're the Sharks and you're going to lose a chance possibly at William Eklund or Tim Stützle, even though they didn't know at the time. So I'm not blaming the Sharks for that trade or attaching that pick, because they had no idea that pick was going to turn out the way it did. But you get what I mean, though. Obviously, you don't want to trade a pick that can be a lottery pick just to get rid of a bad contract, especially where the Sharks are as an organization in terms of their system.
Yeah, and just think of it this way: for that Lane Peterson, to put it into like a context for some people who might not be understanding like just how far out that is, William Eklund will be buying us a beer by the time that pick rolls around. So he'll probably be
hopefully,
the one.
Hopefully,
too,
yeah.
So I mean, who knows?
he'll have moved on from a lingonberry juice to lingonberry wine. So.
Yeah, which, by the way, lingonberry sauce makes a great side on Thanksgiving.
Really?
If you're not big into cranberry sauce, for those of you who have been listening since the Stick Hungry days when I had my Nick Will Try It episode, I actually tried lingonberry sauce, and I loved it. Loved it so much.
How is it different? I'm not a big cranberry sauce guy, so.
I hate cranberry sauce.
How will this sell me on this as a cranberry fellow cranberry sauce hater?
It's not gelatinous, okay? It's not coming in the can, like, ribbed and, like, sloshing out, you know? It's actual berries, and it just cuts into the savoriness of, like, too much gravy. Like, when you start piling on gravy on top of everything, you know, it starts to get a little bit too savory. So you need something to kind of cut into that, and some people use ambrosia or a fruit salad. And a lot of people use cranberry sauce, but cranberry sauce tastes like absolute trash, and I will die on that hill. And we will, San Jose Hockey Now apparently will. But
we will die on that Aiden Hill.
But lingonberries are they got a different one. You actually have the berries, like chunks of the berries in there as well, so it adds a bit of texture. It cuts away from the savory, but it's not too overpowering. Like you can add as much or as little as you want into it. And it adds a nice little hint of sweetness, not too much tang or bitterness or anything that cranberries bring in. So I'll give it a...
Well, it sounds to me, though, that if cranberry sauce was fresh, you might like it more than...
That's the thing. I've tried it before, but then we can get on this for a while.
Fresher cranberry sauce?
Yeah, I've tried it, and like it's not as bad as the Jell-O type, but it still is just... It's got like a weird back-of-the-tongue flavor to me that just does not sit well. So
Okay.
Lingonberries, on the other hand... Great job. Great job,
Swedes. Well, once again, the Swedes do it better. So.
Yeah, hey, what are you going to do? We were going to talk a little bit about going back to the fun topic of Evander Kane.
Let's talk about Lingonberry Jam still.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure people would rather listen to us talk about our Thanksgiving dinner than the Evander Kane.
I gotta
situation.
Say, yeah, people we don't hate the clicks that Evander Kane brings us. Like we can't say we hate it as people in our industry, the views, the whatever, right? But don't like it that much, though. I can definitely tell you among all the reporters on the Sharks beat that when we got to write a Evander Kane story, it's like, not another one.
Yeah.
There is no joy in Mudville for those.
Yeah. The clicks morally aren't worth it at the end of the day, because it's just, just leaves a bad taste in your mouth that this light beer just doesn't wash down. So, example that I brought up to you as to trading winning for culture was Carolina, and their name has been brought up a lot as far as possible trade candidates for Evander Kane, just because the price tag would fit if they drop like a lesser depth winger and acquire if the trade were to go through at 50% retention. But we talked a little bit about the biggest example for them is them taking on Tony DeAngelo.
Right.
And that example, you can't really bring that up as the same. And I think that kind of goes back to your point with the term as well as the cap hit and everything else that kind of goes along with Evander Kane. Because at any moment, everything could just blow up instantly.
Right. That's why the term matters, because there is no, you can't just cut him if he fucks up again, which... you almost know he will. Let's be honest, at this rate, right? And so, the case of Tony DeAngelo is instructive, because when the Rangers offered him up around the league with his big contract, and the Rangers waived him, if you remember, there were no takers, because nobody wanted the same thing.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to take the money and the risk. Same thing with Evander. And so what's going to happen with Evander, I anticipate, is when he becomes, if the Sharks do buy him out, or he becomes a free agent of any sort, then there'll be interest, because then teams can be like, well, we can take a chance, and if we don't like him or he does something, then we can cut him immediately. That's the power that the teams want. That's the power that the Hurricanes have on DeAngelo now. DeAngelo is on a 1 year, $1 million, and what greater motivator for DeAngelo to stay on course than a contract like that? And so that's the kind of contract that a team will want on Evander Kane. They do not want 3 years of guaranteed money, even if it's at a reduced rate. And especially for the enormity of a headache that Kane has proven to be off the ice. If it was just one thing, maybe a team would consider it. They would do internal whatever, like research and whatever, and they might come to the conclusion like, hey, we'll take a chance there if it's just one thing, even a couple things. But it obviously is not just one thing or even a couple things, if you go back obviously to his days in Winnipeg also. And so no team will take that risk, even with the reduced salary. Like I said, unless the Sharks offer a ridiculous package of other sweeteners to really make this taste delicious, not like cranberry sauce, for the potential buyer. But then obviously for the Sharks, then you're hurting yourself in that process. And so
you're taking away William Eklund's possible line mate, and that's not okay. So
right, yeah, it's possible future line mate, not Evander Kane, but it's possible future line mate.
Yeah, Evander Kane's not going to be in the picture. So let's move forward chronologically here. We assume he's going to get waived down to the San Jose Barracuda to free up a roster spot. Am I correct?
I know that's been reported in a couple places. That is certainly
not
possible.
Not necessarily to him actually just reporting, but just to free
up a roster spot. Right. That would make sense, right now. And, you know, you can, when you bury somebody in the minors, you can save about a little more than a million of their cap hit. And yeah, also there's that roster spot too. But yeah, like you mentioned, alluded to, I find it highly unlikely that he will ever report there. And honestly, more power to him. He's an NHL player. I mean, he, based on his on the ice performance, there's no reason for him to be there. So if he thought that, then he doesn't think he deserves the kind of humble pie that people want him to eat. Yeah. You know, that's his prerogative.
Sharks would ever tell him to not show up?
I would say that's where I wonder. I don't know. I wonder if the Sharks would give him that honest chance if he wanted to kind of really show something to the organization and to his teammates. So yeah. I wonder if that would be legit. Also, too, if you think about, like I mentioned, it's complex. So I wonder, too, that if for the PA, if the PA were involved, the NHL PA, that maybe they would need some kind of show of faith that the Sharks were willing to give Evander some kind of chance, you know, before the PA kind of lets what happens.
Yeah.
Because the PA isn't going to let one of their guys hang in the wind, even if it's a not very popular guy. Because that looks bad on them as an organization. You know, they're a union, you know, so just think about
they represent
how unions work. Right. So even if it's a guy that is unpopular, who did this, who did that, the worst things, allegedly, it's their job as a union to protect their guy, which therefore protects their entire union. So that's possible too. And that's just, again, me speculating. So I would say that I wouldn't totally rule that out. And that makes sense why that's been reported, because maybe that is sort of a lifeline for Evander Kane back to the Sharks. But then you have to look at it from Kane's side, though. Like, do you want to go back into that locker room where a lot of people dislike you? And maybe there is no fresh start with some of these guys. You know, maybe not all of it is your fault. Who knows? You know, like, we're not in on everything that happened, obviously. And so maybe he doesn't want to come back, and maybe the best start for him is somewhere new. So it wouldn't be to go down to the AHL, which, by the way, he's never played in the AHL. He went straight from his draft to the Atlanta Thrashers, so straight from juniors to the NHL. So I think that's a question that we don't know either. Does Evander Kane even would, you know, want to come back to the San Jose Sharks?
Yeah, it's easy for the Sharks locker room to use him as a scapegoat, given his current, like, status and what he's been doing, essentially. We don't know if there were issues that he's had with players.
We don't know that. I think that's a very complicated question. Obviously, we'll get to be answered. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
No. I was just going to steer us along here, like, moving forward chronologically, based on what we believe is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to put the numbers out there right now, because it'll be a long time before we can talk about the buyout numbers once it happens, because the buyout won't open until the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we're presuming, Shane, correct me if I'm wrong here, that the Sharks are going to buy him out, barring not trading him or not being able to find a suitor. The Sharks are going to buy his contract out at the end of the season, correct?
That is my guess.
Our prediction, essentially.
Yeah, I wouldn't so far as call it as a assumption, because that sounds like it's preordained. But that is my guess. I would say that in between that, so basically, if he does get sent down, and there might be some element of it, you know, this year, and probably has to be clear with some people that perhaps, you know, he takes a personal leave of absence. Maybe it's a mental health thing where he says that he's going to go get some help. And then that's how he sits out this year, and he gets sent down. So the Sharks get to save a little bit on the cap, but the Sharks still have to pay him the rest of the way. But that probably means they can put him on LTIR. I got to look into that in similar cases, like Jonathan Drouin and that sort of thing. But I would think that means that the Sharks do get that kind of sort of cap help or relief. That's up to that point. And then if they do get to the point of buying him out, then what happens is, of course, and you broke this down, Nick, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have looked on Puckpedia for stuff like this, where Kane's buyout is, I think it starts at 3.6 roughly, and it goes to 4.6. For year it two.
Goes, I got the numbers right here. It goes from 3.6 to 2.0, and these are all 6, 6, 6, 6, 7, 6. Yep. So just to put that out there. So it goes from, it's spread out over 6 years. It's double his current term. It'd be 3.6 for the first season, 2.6 for the second one, so the 23-24 season. In 24-25, it jumps up to 4.6, and then that would be the normal end of his term. So then after that, his next 3 years are at 1.6 for those 3 years. Not spread out over the 3 years, but it's 1.666667 per year all the way until the end of the 27-2028 season. So yeah, with that buyout information, Shang, you know, it's spread out over those 6 years. So twice the amount of time length, obviously, as if they were to trade him for that 50% retention rate, essentially. But the cap hit essentially varies, and towards the end of the last three seasons, the $1.6 million shouldn't be killing the Sharks, because they'll have a lot of big names coming off the books, essentially, at that time. So it's really about whether or not the Sharks will have to give up a high-valued asset to essentially get rid of Evander Kane, or they continue on and do what we are predicting or guessing they're going to do and do this buyout.
Yeah, I think when you ask yourself what's better, a buyout or a trade, if a trade even were on the table, which we don't know, but as you mentioned with the buyout, years 1 to 3, I mean, yes, you have that one particularly bad year when it's 4.6, but it basically matches what half retention would be. And so that sounds great. It sounds like, hey, let's trade him then, and let's give up some asset. So then we don't need to deal with years 4 through 6 of the buyout, you know, $1.6 million each year. But then you ask yourself then what asset is worth it, right? Or what would you give up so you can avoid the last 3 years? And like you mentioned, 1.6 isn't the worst. Like you mentioned, the Sharks have contracts coming out the books. Also, too, by that point, you hope the salary cap is well on the upswing once again. So that 1.6 won't matter as much. And so that's, once again, why you don't want to even contemplate trading a potential lottery pick just to get this contract off your books. Second-round pick, sure. You know, that might be okay if a team were willing to take some future second-round picks, even a couple of them. I don't think a team will, but if a team were willing to, and then that to get the 1.6, the last 3 years of the buyout, years 4 through 6 off your books, okay, maybe that's worth it, even if you have to retain years 1 through 3, because that's a little bit painful, or retain 50%. But again, I think, though, that if you're considering a trade, obviously it matters what you're parting with, and I'm not seeing where it's even worth it for the Sharks to be trading first to get rid of this contract. And yes, definitely worth it to trade seconds, but you need to find someone willing to take on such a deal. And before, like I said, it's a good thing you brought up Arizona, and we talked about Carolina. Those are two teams that people keep bringing up. Oh, the Sharks can't just trade him there. So before this summer, I would have said no way, because, again, the value of a big contract like this was definitely in the first-round territory, if not a couple of them. Arizona has recalculated the market, but I don't think they have enough. So again, I'm not seeing that with them.
Yeah, and you know, Shang, at the end of the day, it all boils down to it doesn't matter. The Sharks are still going to be at the short end of the stick on this one, regardless. If they do find a trade partner, they're going to be giving up an asset of some sort. And if they do, like we're guessing, buy him out, they're going to have not just one buyout contract, but two now.
Yeah,
we bought out Martin Jones,
and so maybe three when we get to Vlasic's contract.
Oh,
but
dear Lord.
Anyway, yeah. There is no happy ending here. Yeah. Any way you cut it. I don't think I know some fans still hope there's some kind of redemption arc for Evander Kane with the Sharks. Definitely not seeing it. Definitely don't want to promote that with some of the other stuff that he's been alleged to have done, and also on multiple occasions too. And so I'm not seeing that some kind of redemption arc with the Sharks. I'm not seeing that they can get rid of his contract like magic for, you know, just a second round pick or just a third round pick or whatever. That's not happening. You're not getting out of the contract that easy. You know, obviously he wants his money, and hey, you know what? He signed a contract, all rights to him to get his money. So he's not going to just retire and walk away like people dream. And so you got to face the hard reality of it that, if you want to get rid of him, it's going to be through the buyout process most likely. And if you want to keep him somehow, that yeah, you're going to get that scoring, but you're going to get a guy that has. I'm not going to use the word broken because that's too strong a word, but a guy that has disrupted three different teams' locker rooms. You know, Winnipeg, Buffalo, and now San Jose. And now you want to give him another run of it, and you might even want to give him a run with your Barracuda prospects too. Are you kidding? That to me is outlandish. So I just not seeing it. Not seeing it. You know, even for Evander too. You look at it from his side. Again, like we asked, you know, what do you want to go to the Sharks or go back to the Sharks, even the Sharks locker room, that doesn't seem like they want him around, where no one offered a shred of support through all of these allegations, at least publicly. Does he want to, you know, go to the AHL where he's never played, ride the buses, you know, he has to play nice and humble when, you know, I don't know if he thinks that's a place that he needs to be at. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you really do have to take his point of view into it, as much as people don't really care about it because of how they feel about him, he still will be a huge decider in where he goes and what he does.
Absolutely, so. Yeah, just a reminder of that, you know, like, the decision that the Sharks make is not going to be a unilateral, you know, FU Evander Kane decision. You know, Kane will be a part of that decision making. And again, part of the PA, part of the union, part of the league too. You know, this is not a place where the Sharks can just be, you know, people would love it, but Sharks can't just wash their hands of the contract and throw them out of the league, throw them out of the team, that sort of thing. It's just not how things work.
Yep. Well, it's going to be interesting. We've been saying it for how many months now? 6 months now, it feels like. Wait and see, and we're coming down to the last couple days when a lot of this news broke out, and when we were talking about this personally, Shang, it was 7 days. I believe it was Tuesday when we were talking a lot, and now it's coming down to just a few days when that suspension is over, and the verdict will have to be made, essentially, or the decision from the Sharks organization will have to come through, and it'll be interesting one way or another how they're going to do this. Do you take the possibility of planting that player back into your locker room and attempting to do what most have deemed impossible, or do you have to take the unfortunate road of buyout and suffer in the cap for however long that may last. So who knows, Shang? We don't, not right now at least, but we will in a few days. So
we'll know a piece of it. I don't know if everything will be resolved by then, but we'll know a big piece of it, obviously.
Yeah, the biggest piece of the puzzle will have to be set in place here within the next few days. So either way, Shang, I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us today. For those of you that are listening that are wondering where the hell your SportLogic stat of the week is, we're not doing the one this week. I don't even think you're going to like them either way based on what we've seen from the Sharks, especially this performance against Toronto. If you want to look at any of the lovely stats, you can go look at some of Shang's tweets, especially that horrendous second period against Toronto. But we're not going to talk about that right now. We've already talked about enough bad stuff. So I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us here today. Thank you all for being patient with this episode. And thank you for taking time out of your weekend to listen to it, because we usually aren't part of your weekend routine. So let us know if you like these weekend episodes. We might do a weekend release or we might not. Who knows? This is all fluid. You know, we're just going with the flow here, fellas. Shang, do you have any more closing thoughts for the folks before you take your lovely... Oh, you got a pack still. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I got to write a story, too. So.
Oh, man, he's toast.
About this disaster of a game tonight, too. On the bright side, and we've talked all bad news, so just wanted to share on the bright side that Lingonberry Jam sounds pretty good, so give it a shot, guys.
Yeah, that's the best part of this episode, Lingonberry. I think it's technically sauce. I'm not sure if it's jam or sauce.
Oh, good point. Yes, jam you put on bread. Sauce, yes. So probably Lingonberry sauce, but jam sounds good too.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lingonberry drink, my personal favorite IKEA, is to combine the Lingonberry drink with like a Mountain Dew or whatever crazy thing they have there, and just make my own concoction. And so that would be my recommendation of the week.
Well, you heard it, folks. Head on down to your local IKEA and do the Shang concoction.
Oh, but don't do it with Pepsi or Coke. I don't remember what they have there, because that probably is disgusting. Do it with a fruity soda.
Something light. Something light, you know, no dark stuff. You don't mix that together. That's just way too thick at that point. So all right, that's going to pretty much do it for me. I got to go decongest some more and maybe do a nasal rinse with something. I don't know. I got to get to bed. But thanks again, you guys all the listeners out there. Everyone, thank you again for your support thus far. We're going to continue to bring great Sharks coverage for you all. Stay safe out there. Get your booster shot if you're eligible. And stay hydrated.